Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series starring Kiki, the globe-trotting cat, exploring the world's diverse places, people, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families loved the books and asked for help planning their own adventures. So the podcast was created to help. Adventure awaits! In this episode, we are off to explore national park adventures with your family. Missy Rince is joining us, who is my new official national park guru. Welcome to the podcast, Missy.
Thank you, Shannon. I am so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. So tell the listeners a little about yourself.
Well, for about 20 years, I have had this dream of exploring the United States. And so a year ago, I decided to take a sabbatical, and I have spent the year traveling around the country, camping and hiking, and a good portion of that has been in our national parks.
So how many states have you hit now?
37 so far.
That's great.
I will hit 50 by the end. I'm committing to that.
That is so cool. You have spent this whole year exploring the parks. So I can't think of anyone better to tell the listeners how to plan a national park vacation. Where do I even begin?
First, I think the parks are amazing. They have so much to offer us. And it is a vacation that I highly recommend for anybody, whether you're traveling on your own, traveling with a small group, traveling with your family. To start, I think it's important to decide some parameters for yourself. How far do you want to go? Are you wanting to fly across the country? Are you wanting to stay within 100 miles of your house? And once you decide that, that automatically narrows down geographically where you can go. After that, think about activities you want to do. If you're looking to hike, you can do that all over the country. If you're looking to kayak, you can't so much do that everywhere. So once you decide your activities, then go to the National Parks website at nps.gov. They have a great search tool where you can find information about every park.
Oh, neat.
It's fantastic. And so then go into each park, read about it. They have this tab called Plan Your Visit, and it's very detailed on transportation opportunities, lodging opportunities, activities to do in the park. So I would go do that, and that's how you narrow it down.
Start there. I read a statistic that most Americans live within 100 miles of a national park. So I think when we say national park, so many people think of Yellowstone, the Grand Canyon, but there really are everywhere across the country.
There are 423 parks, and those big, well-known parks are amazing, but they're also crowded. They can be rather hard to get to. And so if that's the trip you want, amazing. But my favorite parks have been those that I didn't even know were national parks, and I happened upon them. And so you can go within, you said, 100 miles of your home. They are national parks, national historic monuments, there's national memorials. They all have these labels, and the government differentiates them. But I was having a conversation with a park superintendent who said, really, they're all national parks. As far as we're concerned, they're all the same. So there's a lot of options really close to home.
That's really cool. That's really great that the site shows you, like, if I want to kayak or if I want to hike or whatever mm-hmm. those different activities are. So now I've determined that. What are my next steps in terms of planning?
I recommend getting the kids involved. I think get them really excited about the trip. Let them do a little bit of the research, but don't overplan. And you can get kids really excited by talking about what animals do you want to see? Or do you want to swim? Do you want to go out on a boat? There's two national parks, Great Sands National Park and White Sands National Park, that you can go sled riding in the sand. And it's a really great adventure. So I think when you have your kids involved in that planning process, they'll help you narrow it down, but they'll also really get excited about what they're about to see. I think it's a great opportunity to have a history lesson because all of these parks have great history to them. That's one thing that differentiates a national park from other categories is the historical relevance and the preservation that's taking place. So I think it's a great opportunity to start your summer vacation in the planning process and get everybody involved. Then when you get to the park, don't overplan. Don't book so much that you're not happy with each other. It's exhausting. You're leading a very different life and it's exciting. So there's a drain on everybody involved. So really take a little bit of time and enjoy it. And there's nothing wrong with having a day where you just sit and watch the clouds. Or one of my favorite activities, I sat in Yosemite National Park all day and watched rock climbers climb. And it was wonderful.
That's just so cool.
Don't forget your binoculars for things like that.
Very true. So I'm thinking about, where do I stay if I want to camp, if I want to stay in a hotel? Will the website help me determine that kind of thing too?
They have a sister site called recreation.gov. That site is their reservation site. This is good for the lodges and it's good for the campgrounds. It's also good for those activities that require tickets. For example, Cadillac Mountain in Acadia National Park required a reservation. They did timed entry. With COVID, that started a lot. I have no idea how that will change as COVID changes.
Right.
But it's just good to know. And it's good to have those plans in advance.
And you do need to plan in advance.
You
right?
definitely yeah. need to plan in advance. They open up the reservation system 6 months in advance. So 6 months from today opens today. And that changes all the time too. So check out the National Parks website to learn what that lead time is. But 6 months, it books. If you're going to book it, if you're going to Yosemite, you better be up really early to book that lodge spot for yourself. There are so many other options though. I did a lot of my camping in state parks that were around the national parks and it was fine. I mean, it might be a little bit of a long drive, but it was beautiful to see another part of the state and experience both parks.
Right.
There's a lot of hotels outside of the park. There's Airbnbs outside of the park. So I think it's a matter of getting really creative and figuring out where you want to stay and how you want to experience it. And I think too, if your heart's set on a lodge, it can be really disappointing and kind of scary when you think about what is next. And it is just talk to people and start to read the reviews, because some of my favorite experiences were not what I had wanted and planned. They're what I had to do because it was booked.
Admissions to the parks. Do you have to pay?
Fewer than 1/3 of the national parks have a fee.
Oh, wow.
It is really impressive, the gift that we've been given with the national parks, and that we can take advantage of them, and they are very cost effective. Those that do require a fee, it's usually not much, maybe $25 or $35 for a day pass. And you can get a day pass at the entrance of the park, at the park gate. There's other opportunities too. There's a season-long America the Beautiful pass that you can pick up on the website, or some retailers like REI will sell them as well. That gives a family of four entrance to the park for a year.
Oh, wow.
It's a great deal. So I highly recommend that. The other really great program that the national parks offer is for fourth graders. Every fourth grader gets a free pass to the national park.
Wow.
It's a great program, and what a great way for them to learn geography and participate. And then the last to take advantage of is the free entrance days. The park has days throughout the year that they promote to encourage Americans to go to the parks. And those are great opportunities to just get a taste without a fee.
Oh, that's neat. The other cool thing for kids is there's a junior ranger program.
There is. It is so exciting and a really neat opportunity. I actually kind of get kind of teary when I see a child being sworn in as a junior ranger. When you arrive at a park, you can go to the visitor center. The rangers there will come out and swear your child in as a junior ranger, and they get a badge to wear. They get material that gives them an opportunity to have a scavenger hunt in the park, and a passport so they can get passport stamps. It's really special. And then when you go to other parks, you just check in at the information desk and they give it to you. One thing I really like about the scavenger hunt, and I've seen kids participate in it throughout the country, is it makes the park enjoyable in bite sizes. So they'll have a brochure that will ask them if they see a certain flower, if they see a certain animal, to check it off. And kids really get into it and make it a point to check all the boxes throughout the course. And even times I want to do it because it's a great way to see things that I don't pay attention to flowers as I'm going through the park, but they actually learn about them. And I think it's a really great tool for entertainment and for education.
Right. Well, and it's cool because, like you're saying, the rangers are there to help.
Yes.
So that's a great starting point.
It is a great starting point. The first thing I do when I arrive to a park is go to the visitor center. My first stop is to talk to the rangers. Even if I put a detailed plan together on how I'm going to approach the park, the rangers know what trails are open. They know where the best animal viewing has been most recently. They always say no guarantee, but they know about where they have been. They'll tell you where crowds are. A lot of times I show up to a park and I don't want to be with a crowd, especially in the summertime. So they'll tell me an off the beaten path that I can go on. They'll also give you warnings if there's a flooded area, if there's an area that has seen an abundance of animals and they really want people to stay away from it, they'll let you know. And so it's just good to be informed. And then I usually take their recommendations versus what I've planned. The visitor center is also great because they usually have some food and beverage for you to purchase, whether it's for a hike or some of them will have little cafes. There's a store. I think it's great to support the national park stores for your souvenirs, because that money stays with the Park Service. And when you see the services that they provide us, it's really nice to keep the money there and be supportive of them.
So I'm going to the park gear-wise or food-wise. Is there stuff that I need, or do I just pull up in my car and show up?
You can do any of it. It's a matter of what you want your experience to be. So I'll break it down. I'll attack food first. Check the websites, because every park offers different amenities. Some it's just a vending machine. Some it's an array of restaurants. It is like Disneyland. So check that. Then decide on your budgets. It's nice to experience the park and the park foods and some of the restaurants, but it's also nice to pack a cooler with some sandwiches and some chips and go eat on a trail or at a picnic table. So be prepared for that. I will say, during high season in the summertime, the lines are long. Sometimes they'll run out of products. So just be aware of what you're going into and understand that environment. When it comes to what to wear and what to bring, it's based off your activities and the forecast. I think that you want to be comfortable. Tennis shoes, sandals, but probably not on hiking trails. I see people do it, but that is such an easy way to have an injury, and you don't want to spend your national park time in an infirmary. Always be prepared for weather to change. A lot of these parks are at high elevation, so it might be warm and sunny in the morning, and then by the afternoon, it's chilly and rainy. So I usually tend to have something short sleeve, something long sleeve, and a coat of some sort, and always rain gear.
Other tips, tricks that you have for listeners?
I think it's always good to go on a hike. And hikes can be intimidating for people. I find people get nervous and uncomfortable when you talk about something like a hike. A hike is a walk. It's just in the woods. And so it can be intimidating. And when you go into gear shops, you see all of this stuff and you have no idea how to use any of it. I would take a backpack, bottles of water, comfortable shoes, and comfortable clothes. It doesn't need to be high-end. It's not a fashion show. It's recreation. And being outdoors is about the mental health of breathing fresh air and exercising and communing with family. So I think that, just take that into perspective, anybody can do it. That's tip number one. Tip number two, hydration. It is so easy to get dehydrated, and there's a lot of injuries in parks because of it. Take a good amount of water. It is easy to get rid of it when you get home if you don't need it. It is hard to get it if you run out. Check with the park, because some parks don't even have potable water, and potable means drinkable. So I would make sure you have your water. I often will stop at the grocery store and get a couple of gallons of their water just to have in my car. I can always use it at home if it's not used on my vacation.
Right.
Or leave it at a campground for the campground host. Somebody will consume it. That's tip number two. Tip number three is have fun. It can be really stressful on vacations, and I'm very sad when I run into families that they are upset or stressed out. Take your time, soak up and enjoy what the park has to offer, and it'll be a positive experience all around. It's super easy to overplan. The parks are not going anywhere. So if you get a taste of the park and wish you had done more, just plan another visit.
Such a great idea. Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, and I also love, Missy, through your adventures this year, you have done a lot of research and you are sharing that. So where can people go to find out more? Because I love you're writing about hiking gear and camping gear and all of that stuff. So where can people go to find out more or follow you?
People can go to catchyourselfsmiling.com or on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Missy Rentz. The approach I'm taking on that site is for a complete beginner. I started this trip sort of with rose-colored glasses. I hadn't had too much experience in it, and it was really scary, and I overplanned, and I'm thankful I overplanned. Now I don't have to do it, but that's just because I have a year under my belt. But I'm writing this as if I've never been on the trail. I want people to feel comfortable knowing that you should take hiking poles on this hike because, or you should have spikes on your shoes because, or this is a difficult hike and I was brought to tears on it. So maybe don't do it if you're a beginner, or at least go into it being fully aware of what you're entering.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Missy, and for sharing all these great tips to get out and explore our beautiful country and its parks.
Thanks, Shannon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. Visit the episode webpage for all the details from today and lots more travel planning resources. We look forward to traveling with you on the next episode. Adventure awaits!